We're going to talk tonight about the making of a leader. We're going to look at the life of Joseph and how the Lord raised him up as a great leader. It is one of the most preached and taught stories of the Bible. It's really an amazing story, and it begins in Genesis chapter 37. It goes all the way through chapter 50, and yeah, we're going to cover 14 chapters tonight, so I'm just going to read them. No, really, we're just going to kind of skip through these chapters, but I would encourage you, no matter how many times you've read these 14 chapters, to go back and read them again, and just, you know, after this message, read them again, just to let the Lord speak to you through every chapter and every verse. But Joseph was born in a great family. You know, you need to know this, that even great families have problems. And if you have trouble in your family, that doesn't mean that God can't raise you up as a leader. So Jacob had 12 sons. We know that Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And this is where the nation Israel came from, is from his 12 sons. They became the 12 tribes of Israel. And Joseph was one of those sons. And it happened that, as it does sometimes in some families, although it's usually not talked about, at least not openly, but Joseph was a favorite. His dad just loved him the most. And his brothers knew it, and they hated him so much because he was dad's favorite. When Joseph was 17, the Lord gave him two dreams to give him a vision of the purpose of God in his life. And we're going to begin reading in Genesis chapter 37, verse 5 through 11. And we really are going to read quite a few verses. And so I know that's a challenge sometimes if you're not following along in your own Bible, but even if you're just watching the screen, just try to stay with me here. We're going to begin in verse 5 of Genesis 37. It says, "Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, 'Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf.' And his brother said to him, 'Shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us?' So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream, and he told it to his brothers. And he said, 'Look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me.' So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, 'What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to you to the earth before you?' And his brothers envied him, but his father kept this matter in mind." Now, first of all, I kind of feel for this guy a little bit, because you know what? He's 17, and he's acting like he's 17. You know what I'm saying? I mean, a little smart aleck, he has to go tell him his dreams. But, you know, first of all, you can't help what you dream, right? I mean, at least I can't, you know, they just happen. And so here he has these dreams, but he has to tell everybody about it. And boy, it sure didn't help his relationship with his brothers they already hated him. They just hated him all the more. And so after this, they actually began to look for an opportunity to get rid of him. And a short time later, Jacob sends Joseph to go check on his brothers, and we're going to read again in verse 18. "Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him." Wow. I don't know if your family's ever tried to kill you, but it's a bad situation for Joseph. "Then they said to one another, 'Look, this dreamer's coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams.'" They were going to fix him. They're mocking him, being a dreamer. But you need to know this. All leaders need a little dreamer in them. Now, it takes a lot more than a dreamer to be a leader, but if you're going to lead, you need a vision. You know what? Leaders are leading somewhere, and so you got to have some vision about where it is that you're wanting to lead, where it is you're wanting to bring people to, how you're going to help them, what you want to see God do in their life. You need to have a dream of how God might use you. And the oldest brother, Reuben, he comes up with the idea, hey, let's don't kill him. Instead, let's just sell him as a slave. So, let's talk about leadership. Leadership is leading. If you're going to lead, that means you're going somewhere. So I'm going to say it again. Leaders are visionaries. They have to see beyond the right here, the right now. You got to see what can be. And you know what? This is really important when you're talking about people, because we got to remember that God changes lives. And we can't just see them for what they are right now. We got to see what God wants to do, what they can become, how God wants to change them. See people become true followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus. Next, you need to know that God has a plan for your life. Now, God may not have given you some great dream, or you may not have had some visionary experience. You know, you may not have had some great word from God to tell you that, you know, you're going to be raised up as a leader like Joseph did. But here's the thing. Whether you've had that kind of an experience or a word or not, you need to know that God has a plan and purpose for your life. That every one of us matter in the kingdom of God and in what God is doing in the earth today, in the church. Each part has a function in the body of Christ. And so we need to realize that God has a plan and a purpose for me. You don't have to know the details. You just got to know that God has a purpose and a plan for you. And when you know that, it gives you a sense of destiny. And having a sense of destiny helps you to keep going when it gets tough. If you know that God is going to use you, that there's a reason, that there's a plan, then it will give you the strength to keep pressing on. When we lose that hope, when we no longer believe that God is going to do something in our life or use us in some way, it's too easy for us to just give up. Here's a fact about leadership. Not everybody wants you to succeed. And we're talking about the making of a leader. And you need to understand this. Not everybody is going to be for you. Not everybody's going to want you to succeed. And it doesn't matter in what capacity that you are being used of God, there's going to be some opposition. Now, for Joseph, it was real quick and real obvious right off. His brothers were jealous. They didn't want him to succeed. They wanted to kill him. They already hated him. They certainly were not rejoicing with him about his cool dreams. Nobody said awesome, right? People are not always going to be on your side. You know, 17 years ago, this is crazy, next week it'll be 17 years ago that I came back to Grace as pastor. And I, of course, followed Pastor Harold Nichols, who pastored the church for 50 years and was a fantastic pastor, the consummate pastor. Most people say, oh, the greatest pastor ever, you know. And I just got to tell you, there's a whole lot of people that were not happy for a bunch of reasons. Number one, because I wasn't Brother Nichols. And I couldn't be Brother Nichols. I could only be this guy. And so here's what I know, though, is that some of them, they even said, you know what, we'll just stick it out until he fails and he's gone. I stuck it out longer than they did, so I'm just saying. But here's the thing. Not everybody's going to be for you. It doesn't matter where you lead. It doesn't matter what you're doing in life. If God is using you, there's going to be some opposition sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes. And for Joseph and almost every leader, sometimes it's even family. I want to tell you that most men who have tried to lead in their family, sometimes they get opposition, not just from the kids, but even from the wife. It happens that way. It happened that way for Moses with his sister Miriam. It even happened that way for the Lord Jesus. In Mark 3:21 in the NIV, it says his family went out to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. And sometimes your family may think you're out of your mind, but here's something else we need to learn from Joseph. Don't tell everything you know. As I said, this kid was 17 years old, and in all the wisdom of a 17-year-old, he goes and he tells his brothers, and then he tells his dad and all this. Just remember, loose lips sink ships. And all of us as believers have to be careful about what we say with our mouths, because words are powerful. That's what the Bible says. It's power of death and life in the tongue. But especially as a leader, your words carry extra weight, extra power. And you got to be so careful, because I got to tell you, if people are going to find fault with you as a leader, even your own kids, a lot of times it's going to be in the things that you said. They'll even say to you, you said, okay. So just because the Lord tells you something doesn't mean that you're supposed to tell everybody else. Some people think everything that God tells them, I got to tell everybody. No, let me tell you when you tell somebody else, when God tells you to tell them. Then it's time. And that's really hard because, I mean, when you really feel like you got this revelation, this, you know, God just gave you this word, sometimes you just can't hardly stand not to go tell some people. But I'm just telling you, learn from Joseph. Sometimes you need to keep your mouth shut. And we'll see later on in his life, he didn't go around telling everybody his dreams anymore. You know, he learned to keep his mouth shut. But I think Joseph made a mistake when he opened his big mouth. Here's the thing. You need to know this about leaders and the making of a leader. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody. All leaders, not just leaders, everybody makes mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes as a youth pastor. I'm so glad and so thankful that my son is so much wiser than I was. I mean, I did some crazy stuff. And somehow, by the grace of God, I survived, and so did the teenagers. I've made a lot of mistakes as a pastor. And I know that. I know that I don't do everything right. And you know what? You need to know, if you lead your family, you're going to mess up sometimes. I messed up so many times as a dad. Listen, if you're teaching a children's class, sometimes you're not going to do it just right. Sometimes you're going to mess up. If you're leading a small group, sometimes you're going to mess up. We all make mistakes. Here's the good news, though. All of the great men and women of God in the Scripture, all of them except for the Lord Jesus himself, they all made mistakes. Every single one of them. And some of those that we know best, some of those that there's chapter after chapter about their life and how God used them, they made huge mistakes. And so you need to know this. Yeah, you're going to make mistakes. The bad news about that is that sometimes those mistakes will cost you. And sometimes they'll even cost those that you lead. And if you lead people, doesn't matter who they are, even your kids, you're always going to get second guessed. Do y'all realize that I just did it with Joseph? I don't really know if he wasn't supposed to tell his dreams. I mean, I'm armchair quarterback in here, right? I mean, I'm thinking, you know what? It looks like to me that was a huge mistake, but I don't really know. But I'm just telling you that leaders get second guessed all the time. Doesn't matter how you lead, there's going to be people saying, should have done this, shouldn't have done that, would have blah, blah, blah. I can't tell you how many times I was watching a football game, Dallas Cowboys, and I'm thinking to myself, man, I could have called a better play. That was stupid. Anybody else? Yeah. I mean, ever since the days of Tom Landry, it's been that way. I had to get that in. I'm just saying. And it doesn't matter what you do, there's going to be people that say, well, if I was in charge, I'd do it this way. And you know what? Maybe that's why they're not in charge. I wonder if that's really the reason why I don't coach the Dallas Cowboys, right? Back to Joseph. Joseph's brothers hated him so much, so they talked about killing him. They end up selling him as a slave. So he's taken to Egypt as a slave to be servant to Potiphar, who was the captain of Pharaoh's guard. And Joseph, who had this dream of being put up in a great position of authority, wow, he's moving on up, isn't he? He's a slave now. I mean, he's not even just an average dude. He's a slave. This is going the wrong direction for him real quick. Can you imagine how he must have felt sold as a slave by his own brothers? I mean, he had every right to be bitter. He had every reason to be angry, to be depressed. Can you imagine? A young man. He was his daddy's pride and joy. And now his dad thinks he's dead somewhere. And he's working as a slave. That's not the way it's supposed to happen. This just can't be right. Here's what you need to know about the making of a leader. Pain is part of the process. Oh, nobody wants to hear that. Somebody wanting to rebuke me right now. I'm just telling you, it ain't always easy. Sooner or later, we all go through trials. Trials that will prove us and that will develop character in us. The trying of your faith. I'm just telling you, we all go through those things. If you're going to, you know what people say about the ministry? It'd be great if it wasn't for the people. Listen, if you work with people in any way, and guess what? That's what leading is, however you lead. And if you work with people, sooner or later, you're going to get hurt. Sooner or later, there's going to be some pain. And Joseph, he had every right to be depressed, to complain, to lament how the Lord had forsaken him. He had every cause to be bitter, but that's not what happened at all. I want to read Genesis 39, 2 through 5. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Now, there's several key principles here that we can learn from Joseph. The first one is that the Lord blessed him. It was the Lord that was with Joseph all the time. Here he is as a slave. Guess what? God didn't leave him. He's still with him. And this is such an important principle of biblical leadership. You stay with the Lord. You stay close to God. Well, I got hurt, and this happened, and that happened. It didn't go like I thought. You know, I thought it was going to be this way, and now look at me. Can you imagine how it was for Joseph? And yet he stayed with the Lord. Now, here's the thing. If you'll stay with the Lord, God always stays with you, because he says if you draw near to him, that he'll draw near to us. And he'll stay with you. It's really up to you if you're going to stay with the Lord. We read this in here, how that, and the Lord was with him. Well, that's because Joseph stayed with the Lord. He didn't allow the hurt. He didn't allow the disappointment. He didn't allow that to keep him back from his relationship with God. So many people blame the Lord. They feel like God let them down. They get mad at God. They feel that God has just forgotten them somehow. And I'm telling you, no matter what happens, you know, a lot of people go through really difficult things in life, you stay with the Lord. Stay close to God. When people are mean, when people hurt you, the very ones that you're trying to help, stay close to God. We can't lead as a Christian without the Lord's help. So we got to stay close to God. You're not going to help anybody if you're not close to God. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So many start well, but they don't finish because things didn't go the way they thought they would, and they lost their closeness with God. But in everything that Joseph went through, he never got mad at God. There's no evidence at all that he ever blamed the Lord in any way. And I'm telling you, most people would. And most people don't become great leaders because somewhere along the way they blame God and they get bitter instead of staying close to God. If we're going to lead in the kingdom, see, I don't talk much about worldly leadership principles. I leave that to somebody else. But I'm talking about biblical leadership principles. If we're going to lead anybody, this is huge. You got to be close to God. You can't help somebody else get close to God if you're not close to God. Here's the next. Leaders must forgive. Bitterness destroys leadership. In this world, there's so many angry leaders who use hate and animosity to drive people. But that's not how we lead. Bitterness, it causes people to get preoccupied with the wrong things. And I want to tell you, I've experienced this so many times. It's such a temptation when there's problems and heartache and wrongs are done and things are going wrong. It's so tempting to focus on the wrongs. It's so tempting to focus on the people that have hurt us and have wronged us. I can't tell you how many hundreds of times I've been told as a pastor by somebody that says, I used to go to church, but I got hurt. And so now they're not really being used of God. They're not doing anything for God because they got hurt one time. I'm just telling you, you can't focus on the person that hurt you. You got to forgive them and get your eyes back on Jesus. You got to get your eyes back on all the people that need somebody to help them. You can't focus on the ones that have wronged you and hurt you. It'll undermine you. It'll keep you from being sensitive to the Lord. It'll cause you to lose compassion for the people that you lead. Bitterness will cripple you. It'll steal your drive. It'll cause you to lose sight of your dreams. You're focused on the wrong things, you lose sight of the things that are really important. If Joseph became bitter as a slave, he would have done a half-hearted job of everything that he did for Potiphar. And he would have grumbled and complained the whole entire time. And that is exactly where a lot of believers live. They feel like they're stuck where they shouldn't be, and they grumble and complain, and they hate their job, and they're going nowhere fast. I'm telling you, we got to learn to forgive and just keep trusting the Lord and stay close to God. Everybody gets hurt, especially leaders. If you can't handle hurt, rejection, personal attacks, false accusation, you won't go far as a leader. It's hot at the top. Pastor Gerald Brooks teaches on leadership, and we have gone to his leadership conference. I guess I've been 18 or 19 years in a row, and learned a lot over the years from him and other great pastors and leaders. But one of the things that Gerald says often, and when you first hear it, you're going to say, I don't know about that, because I remember going, I don't know about that, but it'll come to you. And here it is. He says, leadership, your leadership capacity will be determined by your pain threshold. Because if you can't handle the pain of people being upset with you, mad at you, I mean, even your own kids, right? I'm just telling you, if you can't handle the pain, you won't go far in leadership, because there's going to be pain that goes along with leadership, and it's hot at the top. Sometimes the people you tried to help become your enemy. It even happened to the Lord Jesus. Why are we surprised when it happens to us? I remember a couple of young men when I was a youth pastor. 16-year-old boys came to me one day just crying tears. They said, "We don't know why we hate you." I was like, "I don't either." Next principle in the making of a leader: be faithful in little. Now, most of us know the end of the story. We know that Joseph becomes second in Egypt, and, you know, he's ruler over pretty much the known world. I mean, they got all, you know the story. But here's the thing. Look at it from where he is right now, what's going on in his life. He is a slave for this dude, and he is making this guy super successful. I mean, he is being faithful as a slave. He's so much more than that. But this is where he is right now. And man, he is doing a fantastic job. It says that everything in Potiphar's house and in his field was blessed, was successful. In verse 3, it said that his master saw the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. You see, even as a slave, Joseph rises in authority. He is put over all of Potiphar's house. Why? Because he was faithful in the little things. And so he was put over everything. Now, it may not sound like that great of a job to be, you know, put over everything as a slave. But no matter where he was, he seemed to rise to the top. I mean, he was at the bottom, but he rose to the top. You know what I mean? In the parable of the talents, Jesus said in Matthew 25, 23, he says, "You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things." And all that is a principle of the kingdom that we need to realize applies in our life each and every day. We got to be faithful in the little things. Whatever our task, our responsibilities, our work, our service, it's important. See, sometimes we think, well, you know, what I do, it's just nothing. It's no big deal. What I do is just not, doesn't really matter. Wrong attitude. We need to have that attitude like Joseph, that whatever it is, no matter how small the task, we're going to do a great job. We're going to do the very best at whatever it is that we do. And God honors that. Joseph was faithful in every way. When his master's wife wanted to sleep with him, he did what was right, even though it cost him. He ends up, of course, being accused of rape and falsely accused and thrown into prison. But he was faithful in every way. Another key principle from the story: leadership is serving. In verse 4, it said that Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had was put under his authority. You see, he served, and then he was put over in everything. He was put into authority. That is exactly the principle of the kingdom. Jesus gives us that in Matthew 20, 26. "Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant." And Joseph was that man. He was a servant. The making of a leader, you got to be a servant. That's the way it works in the kingdom. See, the world's idea of leadership is, well, that's who gets to be the big dog. That's who gets to be in charge. That's who gets to do what they want to do because they're in charge. That's the world's idea of leadership, and it is backwards from the kingdom. Jesus never did what I want to do. Jesus said, "Not what I will, but your will be done." Jesus tells us that if we're going to come after him, we got to, first thing he says, you got to deny yourself. Well, that's popular preaching. You want to tell yourself no, and I want to tell you as a leader, you're going to have to tell yourself no, because it is never about what you want. And this is where some men, and I'm one of you guys, so don't get mad at me. I'm just going to tell like it is, but this is where some men get really deceived and get really stupid. They think that being the head of their house means that they get to do everything they want. No, that means that you get to lay down your life. That means that you get to serve your family. And yes, you're going to make some hard decisions because you're not going to do what you want. You're going to make the decision to do what's best for your family, even when it costs you. I'm preaching good right now, but I'm just going to move on because too much in there, I'm afraid. That leadership is never about our selfish ambition. It is always about serving people. It's about doing what's best for others. We'll come back to these principles again, but let's move on in Joseph's story. It gets worse. As I said, Potiphar's wife accuses him. He's then thrown into prison. What's worse than being a slave? Well, being in prison. Surely now he's going to finally give up and get mad at God, turn sour. No. Genesis 39, verse 20. When Joseph's master took him, put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison, but the Lord was with Joseph, still with him, and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. And again, here he is at the bottom of the barrel, but God blesses him, and he's put in authority even in prison. But Joseph sticks with the Lord. He remains faithful. He doesn't get bitter, and he serves others. And once again, he's promoted. Wow, the making of a leader. Eventually, Pharaoh's baker and cupbearer are put in the prison with him. And in Genesis 40 and verse 4, it says that he served them. Here he is serving again. And Joseph sees that they're sad and he's concerned for them. This guy, hated by his brothers, sold as a slave, falsely accused, thrown into prison, and he's concerned because these guys are sad. I think it's amazing that this guy was not consumed with his own troubles, but instead, he's concerned about others. That's a true leader. It doesn't matter what you're going through, you're concerned about those that you're leading. Let me tell you, when you start to grow up in the body of Christ, when it's more important to you that somebody else gets ministered to in the service than you. Until that happens, you haven't even begun to be a leader. Because leaders care more about others than themselves. I know that's not what the world says, but that's the example of our Lord Jesus. And I'm just telling you that Joseph had that mentality. He was concerned about these guys, even though he had been through so much. And they had these dreams, and so Joseph interprets their dreams for them. The baker's going to die, but the cupbearer's going to be restored. And I'm making it short because we're going to run out of time if I don't go fast. But listen, the only thing he asks of the cupbearer is, he said, please remember me. Don't forget about me. Guess what? He forgot about him. And finally, when Pharaoh has a dream, the cupbearer remembers, hey, there's this guy. They call for Joseph. And Pharaoh asked Joseph to interpret his dreams. And Joseph's response is in Genesis 41:16. Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. I mean, this guy, he's had these dreams and other people's dreams. He interprets them for them. Here's his big chance, Pharaoh. Interpret my dream for me. Joseph says, it's not in me. I'm your man. I'm the guy. You called the right guy. I'll take care of this for you. No. See, that's the way the world acts. And I tell you, I see too much of that in the body of Christ sometimes. He says, it's not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. He gives the glory to God. Oh, how we have to always give the glory to God. The making of a leader, we got to know that it is God, that we are merely his vessels. It is a privilege to be used by God. But God gets all the glory. It is God who gifts, and it is God who promotes. He interprets the dream for him. He tells him there's going to be 7 years of abundance, then 7 years of terrible famine. Pharaoh puts Joseph in charge of everything. But it's God who promoted him to that position of authority he had shown him way back when he was just 17 years of age. God had shown him what was going to happen. And it is God who's finally fulfilled it in a day from the bottom of the barrel in prison all the way to the palace, and he's in charge of everything. And Joseph, finally given authority over all of Egypt, and he is this humble servant who doesn't make himself a big shot, but he serves the people to keep the people alive through a terrible famine. Now just think about this. Hated by his brothers, sold by his brothers as a slave. When he was in leadership, he knew what it was like to have been wronged. He knew what injustice felt like. See, some of the very things, the hard places that you've been through, it may be those very things that God uses to make you a better leader. He's sold as a slave. Then he's falsely accused. Anybody ever been falsely accused? Anybody ever been blamed for things that weren't your fault? Joseph, as a leader, knew what that was like. He knew what it was like to be a nobody in prison. I'm just telling you that God so prepared him to be this great leader so that he could help others. Most of you know the story, but eventually Joseph's family all comes to Egypt for food during the famine. And after their father dies, the brothers all expected that Joseph would take his revenge on them. And we're going to close with that part of the story from Genesis chapter 50. Verses 18 through 20, it says, his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are your servants. Man, they're trying to get right. And Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many alive. You meant it for evil, but God has turned it for good. To save many lives, literally millions of lives. You see, Joseph realizes it's not about him. It's about the people that he is serving in leadership. Oh, how we need to always remember that. We see this in him. So much forgiveness, amazing forgiveness. So much selfless serving. And we see this, that it was never about him. It was always about others. Stand with me. We're going to pray.